ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं तानुकम्पात् सद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिताहिय सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् यानिशा सर्वभूतानां तस्यां जागर्ति संयमि यस्यां जागृति भूतानि सानिशा पश्यतो मुनेः आपूर्यमाणमचलप्रतिष्ठं समुद्रमापः प्रविशन्ति यद्वत् तद्वत् कामायं प्रविशन्ति सर्वे स शान्तिमाप्नोति न कामकामी। भगवान् इस् एक्स्प्लेनिङ्ग् द ग्लोरी आफ् द ज्ञानी बै कम्पेरिङ्ग् हिम् वित् एन् इग्नोरेण्ट् पर्सन्। ज्ञानी इस् फुल्ली अवेकन् टु दि अद्वैत तत्त्वं दि कण्टेण्ट् आफ् दि एण्टैर् यूनिवर्स्, वैल् अज्ञानी इस् टोटली इग्नोरेण्ट् आफ् दट् फ्याक्ट्। And Jnani is totally unaware of the Nama Rupa Jagat, while Ajnani is fully awakened to that Nama Rupa Jagat. That doesn't mean that Jnani doesn't see Nama Rupa Jagat. He sees Nama Rupa Jagat. He sees idli as idli, plate as plate. He doesn't get confused. Instead of taking idli, he doesn't try to take the plate. But in his perception, that content is a different one. For him, the thing which is available as a bhogya vastu and the bhokta and that bhogya karanam, all are one and the same. Brahma arpanam, Brahma vihi, Brahma agnau, Brahma nabhutam. That is the attitude. Even while seeing the sunrise and sunset, the jnani knows that there is no phenomenon called sunrise and sunset. The knowledge doesn't abstract the perception of sunrise and sunset. Similarly, here also, the knowledge of oneness doesn't abstract the external perception that man as man, woman as a woman, and a table as a table. In spite of that perception of Namarupa, in and through that perception, he has one knowledge which says that everything is the same. Mayi eva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati. Nothing is away from me. This knowledge makes him to be settled with himself. As long as a person finds that something is away from him, then that object or a person becomes the source of fear to me, becomes the source of running towards it. So neither kama nor krodha, neither raga nor dvesha is there for a jnani. That is the general meaning of this shloka. Then Bhagavan continued his comparison in the next shloka, that is apuryamanam achala pratishtam. Here Bhagavan compares the jnani to a deep ocean, and ajnani is compared to a river or lake or a small well. Jnani is like a ocean. He is a Purna Vastu. Ocean is ever full. It is Purnam. And its Purnatvam doesn't depend on something, arrival or departure. It is Swatantram. Therefore, it is always Purnam Achala Pratishtam, not affected by either the inflow of waters or by evaporation of the waters. So rivers cannot threaten the ocean that we will not flow towards you, we will make a strike so that you will come to know that we are sustaining you. Ocean will not even reply. Because that much of knowledge the ocean has, I sustain you all the waters. Wherever the waters are there, I the ocean sustain, that knowledge that ocean has. Then third quality is, it is accommodative. It welcomes the purest water in the world, Ganga, and at the same time it welcomes the gutter water also. All the gutter waters also enter the ocean. And fourth one is, it is nirvikaraha. It doesn't change its nature. Though both the holy water and the gutter water fills the ocean, but still ocean remains as it is. Both the waters loses their purity and impurity and get the new quality called saltness. But ocean is as it is. And fifth one is, ocean is anandakaraha. It's a source of joy. It's a source of peace for many people in the world. And it is the source of all lives. All lives are sustained by water. All the waters are sustained by ocean. Therefore, ocean is the sustainer of all lives. Similarly, a jnani also is ever purnaha, full and complete. Not because family conditions are conducive, not because public is admiring him, not because public is respecting him, but he is independently, he is a purna vastu. And jnani's fullness is not affected by arrival or departure of any person, situation or an object. Na vartate no kaniyan esha mahima brahmanasya. Brahadaranyaka Upanishad nicely puts it. Because somebody arrives in his life, he is not going to swell. Because somebody is going from his life, he is not going to be reduced. Whereas ajnani's happiness depend upon somebody's arrival and departure. His happiness is a dependent one, whereas a jnani's happiness is an independent one. An ajnani finds one day himself at the top of the world and second day at the bottom of the world. One day, like a river, his life is full of spade, full of happiness. Next day, you have to go and see his face, something will be there. It is a dried out life. Then, like ocean, jnani accommodates all types of people in his life. Whenever jnani leaves as a jivan mukta, all types of people come. Among them, sinners are there and seekers also are there. Sinners also, he doesn't reject that you are sinners. Like ocean doesn't reject the gutter water, a jnani doesn't reject the sinners also. He is accommodated towards all. If you study our Holy Mother's life, you can see in her life, both Hamza, the robber, and Sharat Maharaj, the direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, both have same status as far as her life. So, jnani is an accommodative person. And jnani is the source of peace and joy. For all suffering people, he is the source of peace and joy. That is why you can find people come to him for solace. They immediately get that. What they get, how they get, they don't know. But still, there is a satisfaction in them just by having the darshan of this jnani. And if a person is spiritual seeker, he gets that spiritual knowledge also. So jnani is a source of spiritual life and joy and peace. Therefore, Bhagavan here says, Yadvat apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apaha pravishanti. Like all the waters, both holy and unholy, all the waters enter the everful apuryamanam, everful, magnanimous, undisturbed, deep ocean. That is achala pratishtam samudram. Tadvat yam sarve kamaha pravishanti. Similarly, all types of sensory experiences enter the jnani's mind and dissolved in that jnani's mind itself. The desires and the sensory experiences lose their satyatvam. As far as ajnani is concerned, anything he gets in his life as a nice thing, it is a reality for him. If he gets 1 lakh rupee in share market, it is a reality for him. If he loses that 1 lakh rupee, that also is a reality for him. But as far as our jnani is concerned, it loses its satyatvam. He is samadukka sukhaswastaha samaloshtashma kanchanaha tulya priyat. His samatva is never disturbed. The thing which is trying to make asamatva or vishamatva loses its satyatva, therefore the thing which enters is called mithya jagat. He assimilates it or he resolves it as a mithya jagat. Therefore they don't disturb him. Manapamanayo tulyaha tulyo mitrari pakshayoho. Like that, so many shlokas Bhagavan is going to tell. And in the second chapter itself he told, yes sarvatra anabhisneha tattatvapya shubhashubham na abhinandati na dveshti. Neither it makes him elated nor it makes him depressed. All these desires and sensory objects don't bind him. They don't have the capacity to bind him. Anything is satyam, that only is going to bind us. Suppose a person dreams that he has lost 1 lakh rupee in the dream. After getting up, he is not going to weep. Why? Because he knows that the money which he has lost in the dream is not a real money. It is a dream money. Similarly, arrival of anything which is mithya cannot disturb our life. Jnani knows that entire world is Namarupa Jagat is mithya, therefore it doesn't disturb him. Saha Shanti Mapnoti. He enjoys the Moksha Sukham. He enjoys Jivan Muktihi. He enjoys an unruffled, cool, enlightened and poised mind. Na Kama Kami. Bhagavan says this Sukha, that is Moksha Sukha or Jivan Mukti, is not for Kama Kami. Kama Kami means an Ajnani. It is not for an Ajnani. Kamyante iti Kama. Objects, that which is desired, that object, Tesham Kama Kami. Vishay Kami, that is desirer of sense objects, desirer of external approvals. You can see in our society, people expect approval for everything and anything. They want to attract the opinion of the public in which they are moving. If you go for a function, they might have purchased some new sari or new ornament. This side, that side, 100 times that amma is going. Because others have to ask where you purchase, what it is, how much cost, like that. And even in gen side, if you see typical type of hairstyle, typical type of mustache and 1 ear ring, all these are all what? He doesn't have anything to appreciate himself, therefore he wants the appreciation from the others. And therefore all the silly things, he makes new hairstyle, whatever small small things he gets in his life, he wants public opinion or public appreciation. They are called seekers of external opinions, external approval. It is a futile approach. When I myself am not satisfied with my life, my stature, my color, my height, so I expect others' approval. Even if I am successful in getting others' approval, still I am not going to be happy, because my mind says I am not up to the mark, but all others says you are up to the mark. After gaining that garland also, when I come to the home and stand in front of the mirror, my own mind will tell, do you deserve this honor? So it is a futile affair to search or to try to get the external approval and honors. This person is called a Kama Kami, desirer of all the sense objects. Vishaya Kami, he is called a Vishaya Kami. In Sanskrit, any object is called a Vastu. Once that object is desired by someone, that object gets the name called a Vishayaha. As long as it is not desired by someone, it is in Ishwara Srishti, it is called Vastu, an object, simple object. But somebody desires for it, then it gets the name called Vishayaha. Vishaya means Visinoti Bhadnati iti Vishayaha, that which binds the person. Once you desire for something, the moment ignorant person desires an object, he is empowering that object to handle him, to disturb him. As long as I don't have desire for that object, it has no connection with me. So it cannot handle me. Once I desire for that object, then immediately I give the chavi to that object, you handle my happiness and unhappiness. Whenever you put chavi, I will jump. Whenever you don't put, I will be alright. Like that, he hands over the switch to operate him. How? Vedanta says, if that desired object is not there immediately, is not there in my life, that's why I desire. not there, immediately I try to struggle to get immediately in my life. I want it. Then once I get it, does the struggle is over? No. I want to maintain it. Therefore, anxiety of maintenance comes. How to maintain it? How to keep this world record with myself? Nobody should beat my record. Nobody should take my money like that. And fear of losing it all the time. That fear will be there. Will anybody will come and take this? Like that, that fear is there. When the object goes from my life, any object which arrived in my life is going to go away. When object goes from my life, immediately grief also all there. So at all the three periods of time, I am disturbed by that object. How? Because I have desired for that object. While desiring, I have given that capacity, or I have empowered that object to handle me. Therefore, Vedanta is very particular in rejecting the shanti for kama kami. Here Bhagavan says the shanti is for only jnani, not for ignorant person. He could have told it is for jnani simply. Only jnani, he says, then not for ignorant person also, he says, because any amount of arrival or departure of any object is not going to fulfill the life of ignorant person. Nityo nityanam chetanashchetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman tam atmastam ye anupashyanti dhira tesham sukam na itaresha. This shloka is from the Upanishad. The Upanishad says, one who has found out the reality in his life, for him only shanti and sukham, na itaresha. Same thing here Bhagavan says, na kama kami. This shloka is very worth remembering. You can by heart this shloka. Whenever you are in a disturbed mood, this shloka can inspire. Like the ocean, I should be undisturbed. And we can use this shloka as the judging rod also. Judging rod of our own mind, not others' life. So whether it is a free, enlightened mind or it is a mind under samsara, for that this shloka can be used. Next shloka, 71.
Vihaya kaman yasarvan tumascharati nispruhaha nirmamo nirahankaraha tashanti madhigacchati.
Bhagavan describes moksha in this shloka very clearly. He says, moksha or jivan mukti is not a particular mystical experience. Many people think that moksha means seeing some mystical experience, seeing daiva darshanam, mystic visions. Here Bhagavan very clearly says, these things have nothing to do with the moksha. If the seeker is a pure hearted one, this vision, divine visions and mystical experiences will help him to proceed more and more, but it is not the end of the spiritual journey. If the seeker is not a pure one, even if Bhagavan comes and stands in front of him, other than Bhagavan, he will ask everything. Other than Bhagavan, he won't ask Bhagavan, I want you. He will ask Bhagavan, I want something from you. So therefore, Jivan Mukti is not a peculiar mystical experience, but enjoying a healthy mind which is free from all unhealthy emotions. Everybody wants that only. Everybody asks, no shanti for us. Everybody wants for that shanti only. Bhagavan says, having that mind full of peace and happiness, free from all unhealthy emotions, is called mokshaha or jivan muktihi. Here, yaha puman sarvan kaman vihaya charati. That person who lives renouncing all the kamas. All the kamas means all the ashuddha kamas. We saw in that previous shloka that there are two types of kamas. One is shuddha kama and another is ashuddha kama. Shuddha kama has three criteria. One is, it is asatyam. Whatever the desire he is going to have or fulfill, he doesn't consider that one as a satya vastu. He knows that it is mithya. All the desires and its fulfillment are mithya. Then second one is, it doesn't disturb his samatvam or purunatvam. Either its attainability or its non-attainability doesn't make any difference as far as he is concerned. And third one is, it is according to the dharma. So we saw there, even Bhagavan has lot of desires. But those desires, their fulfillment or non-fulfillment doesn't make any difference with regard to Bhagavan. Therefore, jnanis also have lots of desires in their mind, but it is always for the loka sangraham. It doesn't have the capacity to disturb them. When Shankaracharya wrote a commentary, he invoked the grace of the Lord that he did not have that time, that whether I could finish this commentary or not, whether this commentary is going to be helpful for the society or not, will they read it or not, will it be a successful hit or not. No, nothing. So its attainability or non-attainability doesn't make any difference in the purnatvam of the jnani. And whatever desire he has, he will have only dharmic desires. And he knows that those desires and its fulfillment are mithya jagat only. It is not a reality, it is under the mithya jagat only. That type of kama we can have. But as far as ajnani is concerned, all the desires are for his fulfillment, not out of his fulfillment. Jnani's desires are out of his fulfillment, but the ajnani's, ignorant person's desires are for the sake of fulfillment. This ashuddha kama, jnani doesn't have at all. He has renounced all the ashuddha kamas and he lives in the same world. Sarva kama tyagaha is the sign of mokshaha. Bhagavan says, sarvan kaman. Sarvan kaman means all the ashuddha kamas. We may ask, at least one or two, at least to keep the life to go on, can I keep it? So in Vedanta they say, you allow even one mosquito inside your room. How many mosquitoes are necessary for you to disturb your sleep? Even one mosquito you allow, it will disturb your sleep. Similarly, even one small desire which happened to be ashuddha kama, ashuddha kama means it is satyam as far as the person is concerned, and he may go for adharmic way of life also, and it is for the sake of purnatvam. So this one mosquito also can disturb. Similarly, one desire also, I have no desire at all, but only thing is I am worried about my grandchild's marriage. All ajis is to tell. So they have seen the life, they have seen everything, they are satisfied, but still this small thing is there, but that only will be the source of problem. Therefore here Bhagavan says, sarvan kaman, all the desires, ashuddha kamas, should be renounced. The jnani has already renounced. Same idea came when Bhagavan started the Tiraprajna Lakshana. When Arjuna asked what is the characteristics of Tiraprajna, 55th shloka, Bhagavan told, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. There also, sarvan manogatan kaman. Here also, all the kamas. Sarva kama tyagaha is possible only when a person gains that atma jnanam. Because according to Vedanta, all desires are product of ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of my infinite nature. All desires are product of ignorance. Ignorance makes me to identify with this small body which has lot of wants and desires. Ignorance makes me to identify with this small body and a petty mind which has lots of desires. Therefore, to fulfill those desires, I go for working. So ajnanam leads to dehabhimana, dehabhimana leads to kama, kama leads to karma, then karma leads to karma phala. Like that is a vicious cycle. Jnani has cut asunder that vicious cycle. Yaha puman sarvan kaman vihaya charati, yaha puman nispruhaha san charati. The one who lives without seeking anything from the world for his fulfillment, for his purnatvam. Even Shankaracharya writes, Sharira Jivana Matre Epi Nispruhaha. Even with regard to his own lifespan, his own healthy body, even with regard to that, he doesn't have any concern. So he is Sarvatra Anavisnehaha. He doesn't have any attachment even with regard to his own body and its lifespan. Why? Because he has an objectivity with regard to his own body's condition. That objectivity is there. That body has become an object which belongs to the world. As far as the ignorant person is concerned, whenever he claims anything, his biodata is biodata of body only. His biodata is either about his body's biodata or about his mind's biodata. As far as jnani is concerned, he has made this body and mind as an object of experience. Therefore, as subject, as consciousness, he stands apart from the body and mind. So according to his vision, millions of minds and bodies are there, and all the minds and bodies are sustained by me, the consciousness. What is the great thing, or what is the loss? One body or one mind pops up, there is no loss at all, because I am the sustainer of the entire jagat. Mayeva sakalam jatam, entire jagat is from me only. Mayi sarvam pratishtitam, entire jagat including all the bodies and minds are sustained by me only. Mayeva layam yati, that is his idea. Because of this knowledge, he gets that objectivity. With that objectivity, he handles his own body as though it is neighbor's body. We also have that objectivity with regard to neighbor's body. Somebody has fallen due to accident. What we do? Immediately, whatever necessary, we do. But we don't have anxiety. We don't have anxiety. Immediately, we take that person to the hospital. If necessary, we pay some money, whatever within our control is possible. Then we come out without any sorrow in the mind. But if the same person is my own child or my own spouse, means what happened? That objectivity is lost because of the ignorance. As far as Jnani is concerned, his own body and mind is its neighbors, as a neighbor. Therefore, he handles them and allows that body to go through its own prarabdha. How he got that objectivity? Bhagavan says, because he is nirmamaha. He does not have the confusion called, I am the owner of the body. For many people, I am the body. For some people, my body. My body means what? Not I am the body. It is my possession. I am the owner. Vedanta says it is the biggest confusion. Ownership is the biggest confusion. The idea called I am the owner and I have the control over particular things, the biggest confusion. Fact is, we cannot own anything in the world. Everything is given to us. This body is given to us. We have not planned for this body. We have not worked for this body. The body is given to us and parents are given to us. And when we come to this world, the land is given to us, water is given to us, panchabhutas are all given items. All the objects of the world are given items. So I am not the owner. I cannot own anything, but I can use them, either use or misuse. In human life, that both opportunities are there, use or misuse. Animals cannot misuse. So we cannot have any ownership idea. We cannot have any control over them. Anything can be taken away by the Lord even without any prior information. We say, no, yesterday you were there, today he has gone. That means what? No prior intimation is given. So immediately the person's life is taken away. Due to ignorance, human being claims the ownership and tries to have controllership. My own child, he is not obeying me, he is not hearing my words. Then we say, we don't complain with regard to other children, only to particular children, because idea is my own child. When ownership comes, immediately the controller idea also, I should control it, I should educate, like that idea comes. And everybody claims the same thing as their own. For example, I say this is my body. My mother says he is my son. So this body belongs to her, she says. Okay, wife says he is my husband. That means she claims that body. And children say he is my father. Children also claim that body. And bacteria and viruses also say it is my body. So everybody claims the same thing, whose actually it belongs. And Mother Earth says it is my property. One day this fellow has to come to me, I have to digest it. Understand? And you take on land. We say it is my land. Municipal wala says it is our land. State government says it is our land. Central government says it is our land. So whose land it is? So our Acharya Swamiji used to tell, if you are a owner of your flat system, you know, right side of your flat, right side wall of your flat is the left side wall of the neighbor's flat. Left side wall of your flat is the right side of your neighbor's flat. Top of your flat is the bottom of the person who is staying above. Bottom, your floor is the
top of the person who is below. So which portion you own actually? You try to put one nail on the wall, immediately they will come, "Oh, what you are doing?" They will come and object. Therefore, he is to tell, our Acharya Swami is to tell, ownership means you are flat. Ownership flat they call, na? Ownership means you are flat. So it doesn't belong to anyone actually. Everybody is allowed to use it, but we have forgotten this fact. Mother Earth, Bhumi Mata, in Bhagavatam, she says, so many people wanted to own me. So many rajas tried to conquer me. So many rajas tried to enjoy me. For my sake, so many rajas gave up their life. But they don't know that I belong to Bhagavan Vishnu. Bhumi Mata is the wife of Bhagavan Vishnu. So I belong to Bhagavan Vishnu. Everybody says it is my land, my land, my land. They don't know that I have the capacity to digest them. They are trying to handle me. They are trying to use me. They don't know that I have the capacity. I am Bhadrakali. I have the capacity to digest them. So a powerful thing which you are trying to handle has the capacity to digest means how much careful you should be, how much futile it is, how much impossible thing it is. What is the consequence of impossible? When you attempt for impossible thing, the choiceless consequence is misery. That's what Vedanta says. Ignorant man suffers because of this confusion called mamakaratva. My life, my body, my wife, my house, my child. Always my, 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 my. In Sanskrit, my means me. Me, 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 me putraha, me bharya, me pita, like that. So only me, 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 only sheep can have this me, 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 like that. So as long as we have that idea of me, me, there is a shloka also, I have forgotten that shloka. It's a joke in shloka format. One Acharya wrote, this ignorant person all the time, me, me, karoti, he doesn't know that only sheep and goats can say this me, me, like that. A jnani knows this fact that he is not the owner of anything. Therefore, he cannot have control over anything. Therefore, he allows his own body to be used by others, his own body to be used by prarabdha. So everything, including his own body, he is not the owner. He has this idea. He allows his body to go through its prarabdha. So what is the secret of this attitude? The secret of attitude called nispruha. Nispruha means non-attachment is nirmamakaraha. Why I am not attached to that? Because I know that it is not mine. Therefore, I am not attached. So how I know that it is not mine? Here the secret is nirahankaraha. Bhagavan says nirahankaraha. He does not have deha abhimana. He doesn't have deha vimana. Being a jnani, he always identifies himself with akhanda chaitanyam. Always with akhanda chaitanyam he identifies. Therefore, he is not identifying with deha. That is called deha abhimana. Dehatma bhava bhava nirahankaraha nirahankara nirmamaha. And Bhagavan Shankaracharya gives one more meaning here for this nirahankara. That is vidyatvadvadi nimitta atma sambhavana rahitaha. Ahankara has two meaning. In Vedanta, the word ahankara has two meaning. One meaning is arrogance, pride, darpa, ego. Another meaning is philosophical ego, that I am body. In first interpretation, Shankaracharya told, since he doesn't have the ajnanam, ignorance, he doesn't have deha abhimana. Since he doesn't have deha abhimana, he doesn't have mamakara. Since he doesn't have mamakara, he doesn't have spruha. He is nispruha. Another meaning is, if anybody gains some knowledge, there is a possibility of having a pride that I am intelligent, I am a knowledgeable person. As far as jnani is concerned, he doesn't have that idea also that I am a scholar, I am a jnani, an object of worship. Everybody should worship me, everybody should bow down to me. That the expectation also he doesn't have. So garva may come to a person due to his scholarship and noble qualities. But jnani knows that identification with the scholarship, that I am jnani, and identification with the noble qualities. Jnani has lots of noble qualities. Others go on praise him, but he doesn't have any meaning for that. So he doesn't have that samsara called garva. He never says, I am jnani, I am brahmajnani, he never says. Before that, he doesn't know what is Brahman. Now he comes to know that what is Brahman. So he could have claimed that I am brahmajnani. Before I was a Brahma Ajnani, now I am Brahma Jnani. He could have claimed, but he doesn't claim. He says, I am not Brahma Jnani, I am Brahman. A chemist, before going to college, he doesn't know what is the nature of chemical. After finishing his chemistry course, does he say, I am chemical? He says, I am chemist. So here, very object of knowledge becomes the subject in this case, Jnani's case. He studies, he comes to know about something called Brahman, and he identifies with the object of knowledge. Other scholars, for them, the object of study, the object of knowledge is different from themselves. Therefore, they say, I am the scholar in so-and-so field. I am scholar in so-and-so field, they claim. That also is samsara as far as Jnani is concerned. Therefore only he hides his greatness always. When Sri Ramakrishna lived, very few knew that he was a jnani. And still very few know that he was an avatara. He hides. He behaves in this world as a jadonmatta pishachavat. People consider him is an inert fellow. He is a jada. Or unmattaha, he is a madcap. Many people consider Ramakrishna as madcap. He is a madcap. And pishachavat. Some extreme cases are there. They behave like pishachas. In Sri Ramakrishna's life also, one day Sri Ramakrishna called our Hridu. Hriday. Hey Hridu, Hridu, please come, come, come here. Then he showed a person who was eating along with the dogs. Who was sitting near the garbage and he was eating food along with the dogs. For Sri Ramakrishna, there was an idea, oh, my life will be like this, it will be like this. He was a little bit afraid. Then immediately he told to mother, mother, don't make this category. Make me as a bala, as a child, not as a pishachavat. So that type of lifestyle hides his noble qualities and greatness. Advaitam samanu prapya jadaval lokam acharye. One of the acharya, Gaudapada acharya says, after gaining this knowledge, don't go on with mic, go on, tell that I am jnani, I am jnani. As long as you say I am jnani, you are ajnani. Don't stretch your leg for pada puja. The consequence will be, if you stretch your leg for the pada puja for honor, consequence will be they will drag it. You will fall down. So nistuti nirnamaskaraha niswadhakara evacha chalachala niketascha yatihi yadrichiko bhave. These are all beautiful ideas that jnani doesn't have even that vidya ahankara also. All ahankara are destroyed by vidya. All ahankara, all dehabhimana are destroyed by vidya. If a person has garva or ahankara with regard to vidya, there is no means to destroy it. Therefore, jnani says, don't have this vidya ahankara also. His idea about honor is, don't stretch the leg, you will be in trouble. Satya jnani, who is nispruhaha, nirmamaha, nirahankaraha, and who has renounced all the ashuddha kama, sarvan, kaman, vihaya, yaha charati, one who lives in the world, saha shanti madhigacchati. He becomes the Brahma Bodhaha Bhavati. Acharya writes nicely. He identifies himself with the infinite. He enjoys the Atma Shanti. Here the Shanti doesn't mean that ordinary peace of mind enjoyed by every one of us now and then. Here is the permanent fulfillment or permanent peace. He becomes a Jivan Muktaha. The idea is he becomes a Jivan Muktaha, free while living. While living in the same cantankerous, cheating, lying, dishonoring world, he is still is a free person. This jivan mukti is the goal of human life. This jivan mukti is the goal of human life. In bhakti shastra it is called daiva darshanam. Daiva darshanam not as an object of your darshanam but the very subject. This is called moksha praptihi in the Vedantic context. After gaining this atma jnanam or jivan mukti, his life is a blessing to the entire humanity. Whether he goes for preaching, whether he shares his knowledge with others or not, very existence itself creates an atmosphere, and so many souls who are seeking for this type of guidance, they come to the jnani. Like Sri Ramakrishna says, when the lotus flower blooms, automatically all the honeybees come together. Lotus doesn't advertise, come, I am now already full bloomed flower, lots of honey is there, please come, it doesn't announce. Similarly, jnani also doesn't proclaim that he is a wise person and his life is a blessing to the humanity. His prarabdha is going to continue the existence of body. So as long as his prarabdha exists, he becomes the instrument in the hands of the Lord, because the universal manager, Bhagavan, has to manage so many things, has to fulfill everybody's needs. There are some people who ask, give this, give that. But there are some people who ask, I don't want anything, Bhagavan, you give me the knowledge about that reality. Knowledge about the reality, who can give? Only a person who has that knowledge. So, he keeps this jnani as an instrument in fulfilling the needs of the seekers, spiritual seekers.
Yesha brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimukhyati sitva syamanta kalepi brahma nirvanam ruchyati.
Bhagavan concludes this topic. He partha, yesha brahmi sthiti, this alone is called brahma bhavaha or brahmanhood. This state of mind, which is the result of atma jnanam, is called brahma anubhuti or brahma sthitihi, brahmi sthitihi. It is called abidance in Brahman. This perspective, which is born out of clear knowledge of who I am, is called jivan muktihi. This brahma bhavaha is possible only through atma jnanam. Atma jnanam, which is called in this chapter as Sthira Prajna, is gained by Vedanta Vichara. Vichara done through Shravana, Manana and Nididhyasana of the Vedantic scriptures, that is called Sthira Prajna. You should remember that second chapter, 11th sloka onwards, Ashochyan Anvashochastvam Prajnavadamcha Bhashate Gatasu Nagatasuncha Na Anushochanti Pandita. From that sloka to 25th sloka, Bhagavan explained what is the reality, nature of reality. That shloka, if you keep in mind, that is the central teaching of the entire Vedanta. It is worth memorizing and revising again and again, so that whenever our physical personality pulls down, whenever our emotional personality pulls down, whenever intellectual personality pulls down and makes us depressed, immediately we have to invoke our spiritual personality. How to invoke the spiritual personality? Not by doing any puja or something, just by remembering the facts that I am not all these things. They cannot disturb me. They cannot have the capacity to disturb me. I am sustaining them. I, the consciousness, am the spiritual personality. That type of idea should be invoked. So Bhagavan says, Yenam prapya na vimukhyati. Having gained the self-knowledge, having gained the sthira prajna, the person, the jnani, doesn't have any conflicts in his life. There is no conflicts in his life. As long as this jnanam is not gained, lots of conflicts will be there. Conflicts are inevitable. Here Bhagavan addresses the Arjuna's problem. Arjuna, how he surrendered? Arjuna told, I have lot of conflicts. Dharma, dharma, viveka is there. Whether to do or not to do, whether to fight or not to fight. So Bhagavan gave that medicine called, he did not give medicine as a dharma viveka, he gave medicine as atma anatma viveka, highest medicine he has given. So now he says, you gain this knowledge, which is called medicine for samsara, you will not have moha. Moha means conflicts in mind. There is no fallback in your life to samsara. Once you gain, it is totally gained. Asyam Stitva, staying in the state of Jivan Mukti, he lives happily in the world as long as his prarabdha continues. Antakale Api Stitva, if a person gains this knowledge even just before the death, even at the fag end of the life, still it has a worth. He might not have enjoyed the Jivan Mukti, but still he will have Videha Mukti. Bhagavan says, Brahma Nirvanam Ruchati. This knowledge will make him free from Janma Marana cycle. He will attain Videha Mukti. By gaining knowledge, he enjoys the Jivan Mukti as long as Prarabdha continues. And when Prarabdha is over, he gains the Videha Mukti. Brahmani Nirvanam, Brahma Nirvanam. In ordinary person's life, when he dies, his body only is destroyed. His Sukshma Sharira continues and Karana Sharira also continues. But as far as Jnani is concerned, once this body is destroyed, along with that, the Sukshma Sharira also is destroyed. To knowledge, he has destroyed already the Karana Sharira Ajnanam, he has already destroyed. When the body goes away, mind also, Sukshma Sharira also is destroyed, attains. Here Bhagavan says, Richyati. Richyati means attains. Attains means what? Not it is a process. Attains means not going somewhere else. Attains means recognizing his own infinite nature. This deficient called Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti is from the third person opinion. Jivan Mukti while living, after death Videha Mukti. Two types of Mukti is given. It is from the standpoint of the Vedanta or scripture or the third person. So when a ignorant person comes to the Vedanta, for what purpose he comes? For freedom only he comes. Freedom from all types of problem he comes. So Vedanta assures that, yes, while living itself you will get freedom. And this freedom, is it for only for this life? Vedanta assures, no, after your death you will have permanent freedom. You will have permanent freedom. Two types of freedom is talked, that is from the standpoint of the scripture or third person. But as far as Jnani is concerned, he neither claims himself as Jnani, nor claims himself as Jivan Mukta, nor expects for Videha Mukti. As far as he is concerned, if you ask, will you have rebirth? He will say, when did I have this birth? Will you have rebirth? When you ask, he will say, when I had this birth, I never born. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. He will tell, I never born. I am Nitya Muktaha. I am neither Jivan Muktaha nor Videha Muktaha. Because both are going to have in future. But he says, I am Nitya Muktaha. Even while I was profusely crying, I was never born. I, the consciousness, never born. So birth, rebirth and freedom all are from standpoint of this body only. So why should I bother for the rebirth of this one particular Sukshma Shariram? As I told, when millions of Sukshma Shariram is sustained by me, when millions of bodies are sustained by me, the consciousness, what is the fun in having one more extra, or what is the loss in one Sharira popping off? In ocean, you can see so many bubbles. Does the ocean bothers about one popping off? Popping off means that bursting of that bubble. Oh, I have lost my one bubble. Does it bothers? Ocean knows that whether it is a bubble or popped off, I, the water, am the content of that bubble. So similarly, Jnani also, he doesn't bother about what is the fate of his Sukshma Sharira. So he doesn't have that idea called that I will be free from. While entering, everybody has that idea called freedom. Afterward, that idea of freedom itself goes away from the Jnani's mind. It is Mayeva Sakalam Jati. Where I was bounded? When I was bounded? What is there as a second thing to bind me? There is nothing to bind me because I am sustaining all. Aham Vrikshasya Reriva Kirtif Prishtam Gireriva. One Jnani says, I am the source of all entire world. I am Ishwara, he says. That is the idea. So thus Bhagavan concludes this Thira Prajna Lakshana topic, which started from 55th shloka onwards. With this second chapter also, Bhagavan concluded the entire Vedantic teaching is over now. in the second chapter, samsara dukkha varnana was there, how Arjuna suffered because of his ignorance, how conflicts and confusions and attachments were there because of ignorance was explained, first 8 shlokas. Then afterwards Arjuna surrenders to Bhagavan, then Bhagavan gives Atma Jnanam as the solution for all human problems. From 11th shloka onwards up to 25th shloka, he gave that nature of the reality. And when he found that Arjuna is not able to grasp those teachings, immediately he gave Karma Yoga as a way of life to prepare this mind for that Atma Jnanam. After completing 54th shloka, Arjuna asked, I want to know a person who has gained, what is the lifestyle of the person who has gained this knowledge. So Atma Jnanam was told, explained, and the means, that is how to make our mind mature, that means also explained, Karma Yoga was explained, and what is the benefit of this knowledge is explained in this Dhiraprajna Lakshana. Therefore entire Vedantic teaching is over. If the student is a qualified one, he would have grasped the entire teaching and would have told Nashto Mohaha Smritir Labdha, thank you O Lord, everything, my problem is solved, he could have told. But fortunately for us, Arjuna was our category. Year after year you read Gita, Janma after Janma you hear Gita, nothing happens. So it is our fortune, Arjuna happened to be a Manda Madhyama Adhikari, mediocre seeker. Therefore he comes back with a doubt. It is fortune for the general humanity. Therefore only Bhagavan is going to talk, not 1 hour, he is going to talk another 3 hours, maybe another 3 years for us to go through this. Another 600 shlokas he is going to talk. Those details we will see in the next class. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Sankhya Yogo Nama Vidiyodhyayah. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadaklesha Nashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.